1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Together in verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I'm sure you're aware, but I'll just remind you, when he talks about being asleep, like in verse 13 and in verse 14, sleep in Jesus, that's just a nice way of saying they're dead. These are saved people who have died physically, and that's who he's talking about there. Now, we've been in this is, as I mentioned, our third sermon in this series, End of the World, and we're going to talk about what we see here in this text, what we commonly call the rapture. So what about the rapture? Let's pray. We'll jump right into the message. Father, I pray now that you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, our minds to be focused and attentive, but Lord, our hearts to be open. And we're not just trying to give facts and information, Lord. We want to give truth and something that changes lives. And Lord, that's the work of the Lord. We understand that, but Lord, we need your help in this. And we want to do it the best we can so you get the most glory. And so I pray that you'd help us. Now we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen, and you may be seated. Now, we began this series of stating the obvious, because the series is End of the World, and the obvious statement is the world will end. And we made that, we preached on that, that was our first sermon in this. Now, I'll remind you, when we say the world will end, man is not going to end the world. We're not going to hasten the end of the world, we're not going to delay the end of the world, we're not going to cause the world to end. The end of the world is in God's timetable, God's purpose, God's plan. It's what God is doing. But it will end, but it'll end based on what the Lord's plan is. So we looked at that together. And then last week we talked about the focus of end time prophecy. And the focus of end time prophecy is not the rapture, even though that's what we're going to talk about this morning, but that's not the focus. The main focus of prophecy, the main focus of what everything is zeroing in on is what we call the millennial kingdom or the thousand-year reign of Christ. That's the focus. And we talked about how important that was and why that is and how prophecy was always focused on that and how the Lord, how the Father vindicates His Son. And that one statement there, I think, is one of the most important statements in prophecy. The Father vindicates the Son. That's an important statement. That's what we see happening during this thousand-year reign. Again, we don't cause this. We don't. Some people think, well, we'll get the world so good that Jesus will come back in the reign. The world's never going to be that good. Let me just say this. There's nothing so good in the world that you'd want to leave heaven for. That's number one. And number two is, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out which way this world is going. From when you're born to this day, there's a trend line. And it's not going up. It's going down. So we're not going to make this world so good that Jesus is like, well, I might as well leave heaven and go to earth. That's not what happens. The Lord does return physically to the earth, but it's not because of us. Again, it's the Lord's timing, the Lord's plan, the Lord's purpose. Now today we're going to look at, and as I have already referenced, today we're going to look on this idea about the rapture, the truth of the rapture. Now, the rapture is probably what many focus on. We talk about end times or the end of the world or anything about prophecy. Most people's minds go straight to the rapture. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying that's usually what happens. But the rapture is not the main focus. It's important. It's biblical. It's necessary. I'm not taking anything away from the rapture. But I'm telling you, it's not the main focus. The main focus is the kingdom. But the rapture does have an important role, important place. So let me give you here. What I would tell you is basically the prophetical timetable that we're in. I'm going to give this to you. I don't normally do this on Sunday morning. It's more of a Wednesday night thing I do. But I'm going to give it to you so you can probably, hopefully, I said to someone before the service, I'm a visual learner. This helps me. For some people, this is nothing to you. But for me, this is This is how my brain works. So to visualize it helps me. So let me explain where we're in. So as we go through this message this morning, I don't lose you based on the things we've already talked about. This is the ascension of Christ. We see that in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is born, lives 33 sinless years upon the earth. At the end of that, he is crucified. Now, thank God that's not the end of the story. 3 days and three nights later, he's resurrected. Now, he didn't swoon and pass out and come back to consciousness. He literally died on the cross. He's dead as dead can be. He's dead for 3 days. He's dead for three nights. And then he comes back to life. He's resurrected. And after his resurrection, he has a 40-day ministry still. And at the end of those 40 days, while he's talking to the apostles, the disciples there, he ascends straight up to heaven, and they're kind of watching him as he's caught up and goes straight up. That's the ascension of Christ. Today we're going to talk about the rapture. In between has so far has been a little over 2,000 years. We call that the church age. It's the time of the New Testament church. That's what this is, a New Testament local New Testament church. That's what this is. Technically during the life of Christ, but as far as what we see today and the spread of churches and the multiplication of churches, all that happened during what we call this church age. We don't have synagogues, we have churches. We don't have a temple, we have churches. We meet in local churches. This is the church age. This is the body by which Jesus is doing his work today, through the local church. So we're in what we call the church age. The church age ends at the rapture. Every born-again believer is caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so at that point in time, at that exact moment, there's not one saved person left on the earth. There'll be people saved during the tribulation period, but it begins with every saved person being raptured out. And then there's a seven-year tribulation period. It's divided in half. There's 3.5 years of kind of a, if you know history and how the Roman Empire had peace, it's called Pax Romana, Roman peace. Basically, they had peace because either you had peace or they killed you. And so there was a 3.5 year of forced peace. At the end of 3.5 years, there's an event that happens, which we're not talking, it take me a whole different direction, so just an event happens. And the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The first 3.5 years is terrible. 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years is even worse. At the end of the tribulation period, we call that the revelation. That is the physical return of Jesus Christ. That was the message last Sunday. Jesus Christ comes from earth, stands upon the earth, sorry, comes from heaven, stands up, yeah, I know, you're like, that's not earth, that's heaven. He comes from heaven, and he stands on earth again. We saw this in Zechariah about the Mount of Olives splitting. His feet literally touches the earth. It's on the earth. Not the rapture. The rapture, we meet him in the air. The revelation, he literally, physically returns to the earth. And then that's the millennial kingdom, final battle, and off into eternity. So this morning, we're talking about this point right here, the rapture, what begins the tribulation period, which leads to the physical return of Christ. That's what it looks like. Hopefully that's not too much overkill in information, but just try to help you to understand where we're going with this morning. So the next, now watch this, let me slow down a little bit. The next event is the rapture. And there's nothing between now and then. People say, well, what kind of prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture? Zero. The rapture is the next event. So the rapture is the next event that leads to what really is the final event, the tribulation period, and into the millennial kingdom. Now, people say this, well, Pastor White, I don't know if you know this, but I've looked in the Bible, and the word, oh, I don't know why I do this, but it's to show the arrogance, I guess. The word rapture is not in the Bible. You're absolutely right. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? What do we call that? The Trinity. The Godhead is true as well. The Trinity. You know the word Trinity is not in the Bible? Do you believe in the Trinity? Well, of course, the Bible teaches about the Trinity. Exactly. The word Trinity is not there, but the teaching is there. And the word rapture may not be, that particular word may not be in the Bible, but the teaching is in the Bible. We've chosen a word to identify the teaching, and the teaching is in the Bible. So the word teaches about the rapture. If you go back to our text, 1 Thessalonians 4, look with me at verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, what's the next two words? Caught up. That's the rapture. It means to be forcibly removed. All of a sudden, poof, and they're gone. They're caught up. That's the rapture event right there. Now, many people, maybe most people, have a knowledge about the rapture. Even unsaved people. It's been on TV shows, it's been in movies, books have been written. My guess is this, you go to anyone you want to talk to, go out, just don't leave right now. But if you were to leave after the service, go any direction you want to go, knock on the door and say, have you ever heard about the rapture? My guess is 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, they're going to say yes. Most people know about the rapture. Very few understand what the Bible teaches about the rapture. It's been sensationalized. It's been, and just because it's in a TV show and a movie doesn't mean it was right. It's been sensationalized. Now, for the believer, let me slow down. This is all introduction. You're saying, where's an application? We'll get there. Just stay with me, okay? For the believer, for the born-again believer, someone who has Christ in their heart, excuse me. Sorry about that. Someone who has Christ in their heart, for a born-again believer, here's what the Bible says to us about this. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the believer, the rapture is our blessed hope. And the whole rapture, tribulation period, second coming of Christ, the physical, literal second coming of Christ, that all the return of Christ as a whole, that is our blessed hope. Now watch. For the unbeliever, if you sit here this morning and you've never called upon Christ to save you from your sins, for the unbeliever, it could be your eternal doom. That's the importance of it. For us who know Christ, it's our hope. For the unbeliever, it could be your doom. So the teaching of the rapture is to be an encouragement to those who know Christ and a warning to those who do not know Christ. So this morning, we're going to try to look beyond the sensational and see the substance, what's really important. So I'm going to share three important truths about the rapture from our text. So let's go back now to our text, and let's get to the application part of the message. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look with me at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the first thing I want to share with you, number one, is this. The timing of the rapture. How does this happen? Well, let me share another verse, because this verse doesn't tell us exactly. It tells us what's happening. It doesn't tell us the speed of which it happens. 1 Corinthians 15 helps us understand that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We'll be given our glorious, our glorified body. So the Bible says the rapture happens in the twinkling of an eye. You know how quick that is? It basically is instantaneous. It's not like this. People aren't going to go, hey, there goes the, it must be the rapture. Look, they're all going up there. That's not how it's going to be. It's going to be like this, and all of a sudden, wouldn't it be interesting to happen on a Sunday morning? And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's just you and a couple people left, and you say, what happened? It's like, they were here and they're gone. That's exactly how it's going to happen. Instantaneous, like that. In the twinkling of an eye. So the Bible says the rapture happens in this twinkling of an eye, instantaneous. Now the key thing, and we mentioned this earlier, I'm going to reemphasize this, there is no prior event. There is no forewarning other than Scripture itself that tells us it's going to happen. It can happen at any moment, and that has always been true. When Jesus ascended up to heaven, two angels and the disciples were gone. And they're just gazing. The angel said, well, why are you looking up? This same Jesus, and I'm not quoting perfect, I'll tell you up front, I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, this same Jesus that went up, he shall come. Now, basically, the idea was, now go get busy doing what he told you to do. And so Jesus can return at any moment. At any moment, the rapture is going to happen at any moment. So at any moment, we could be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And this has always been true. The imminent return of Christ has always been the hope of believers. At any moment, we could see the Lord. Now, I'm a born-again believer. I hope and trust that you are as well. I do not fear death. I'm not going to jump out in front of Center Ridge at the bus coming by because I don't fear death. I'm not talking about being foolish and stupid, but I don't sit and worry and bite my nail and say, I don't know what, I might die. If I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried. I'm not fretting about dying. I know whom I believe, and I know that my security is in Him. Now, death, when death comes, Cole was telling us, and I think we've talked about this, Cole was telling about a guy, 59 years old, good health, everything, dropped dead like that. People, that's what happens. And if I drop dead right now, I'm positive based on Scripture that I will be with the Lord in heaven. But I may not make it to death. Not every believer is going to die. Many believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Instantaneous like that. People say, well, Pastor White, I got 30 years to serve the Lord. No, you have today. That's all you have. Because today could be your day of death, but today could be the day of rapture. At any moment, the Lord can return. Nothing, now watch this, nothing needs to happen before the rapture. I'm going to emphasize this because this is a big mistake. People look at what's happening in the world, and they see all this stuff happening and this stuff happening, and they say, well, all that's got to happen before the rapture. None of that has to happen before the rapture. At any moment, the rapture can happen. Now, full stop. After the rapture, we go into the tribulation period, and certain things happen. So here's how I look at it. The rapture could happen at any moment, but after the rapture, these things are happening. So if I see these things lining up, I'm thinking this thing may be real close. This rapture may be real. If I think this is like tribulation period stuff lining up, before the tribulation period happens, the rapture is going to happen. So I'm thinking this could happen at any moment. So the rapture may be close based on those things lining up, but those things lining up don't have to happen. It may happen, it may not. The rapture can happen at any moment. The imminent return of Christ, that includes the rapture, all of that can happen at any moment. So nothing needs to happen before the rapture, but there are things that happen after the rapture, which kind of tells us maybe the rapture is real close. Now, let me go down another path. Because people say this, well, everything's lining up, it's got to happen today. Oh, it can't get any worse. You know, I can tell you, in my mind, I go back all the way to 1982, probably even before that. And I heard people saying this. In 1982, you know how long ago that was? Just a few years, right? 1982, I can remember people saying, Jesus has got to come. He's got to come in the 80s. I mean, look how bad things are. Look how things are lining up. We're never going to make it out of the 80s. Jesus is coming. The rapture is going to happen. It didn't happen. It's always looked this way for several reasons. One is this, Satan has always had a plan to destroy man, destroy the world. Satan wants to destroy everything. So Satan is always working in the world to make things as bad as he can. Number two, God expects us to walk by faith. And he wants us always to be anticipating his return. Often, God has lined things up, and everyone's like, here it comes, and then it didn't come. Because he wants you to expect it. Many believers, when they saw World War II happening, you had Hitler, you had this European power conquering the world. Everyone thought, this is it. And that wasn't it. We don't know exactly when the Lord's going to return, but we know this, we should be ready at any moment. Because it's going to happen like that. In an instantaneous, in the twinkling of an eye. So the timing of the rapture is, at any moment, the Lord can come. Let me show you a verse here, and then we'll move on to the second point. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now stop for a moment. What he's saying is this. The Lord's going to return. People are like, yeah, right. Pastor, I heard that preached 100 years ago. I heard that preached. Well, probably not 100 years ago. You're not that old. But 50 years ago, 30 years ago, I heard that preach. You're right. They did preach it. They preached it when I was a kid. It was true then. It's true now. Well, has the Lord forgotten? The Lord hasn't forgotten. And it's not that the Lord isn't able. But notice the second half of this verse. He's not slack concerning his promise, but notice what he says next. But he is long-suffering. There's some things in the world that aggravate me. Do they aggravate you? So I'll just say it. That way they can ban us from Facebook, YouTube, and every other social media. Okay? Guys, God made men, and he made women. And when doctors try to put, especially we're talking about kids, when a doctor takes a kid who's a boy and tries to mutilate his body into a woman or vice versa, that is, it is unbelievable, unbelievably reprehensible. I cannot imagine how a human being could do that to a kid. You look at this world and you say how vile and filthy things are. Why doesn't God do something? Because he's long-suffering. He wants people to come to him. As much as sin aggravates, and much as he hates sin, he loves the sinner. There are some people who live vile lives, but God wants them to turn to him. Now, they may not, and they may have to deal, and they may endure hell because they won't come to Jesus Christ. But they're not going to hell because God doesn't love them. They're going to hell because they won't come to Christ. God is long-suffering. Notice what it says next. Not willing that any should perish. There is no desire in God for anyone to die without Christ and go to hell. Do they? Yes, but not because God wants it. The whole thing that's holding back God, we're not holding back God, the world's not holding back God, God is holding back God. He is long-suffering. He wants to show mercy. He wants to show grace. This is the only thing that's stopping this immediate event or this imminent event of the rapture. It is the long-suffering God desiring to show mercy and grace. But notice the next verse. Sorry, notice the end of that verse. Next verse. Get the right words out. But the day of the Lord will come. He's coming. This world can laugh, they can mock. You post something like this on social media, and those bunch of dumb Christians, they always talk about Jesus is coming. Let me tell you, he is coming. The Bible says it. He's coming. Are you ready? Yes, he's long-suffering. Yes, it seems like it hasn't, it hasn't happened yet. Yes, it seems like it's being delayed, but God is showing long-suffering. But he is going to come. So we have the timing of the rapture. Then I want you to notice the next thing. Back, if you will, to our text. Look with me at chapter 4 again, in verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, now watch this phrase at the end, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. We may sorrow, but we have hope. And then it says in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a comfort that comes from understanding about the Lord's return. And then I showed you this verse earlier. I'll show it to you again. We'll talk about the hope of the rapture. In Titus 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a hope of the rapture. So let me slow down because I want you to get this. This is maybe the most important part for some. For believers, this world does not offer us hope or comfort. In fact, this world, if you're truly trying to live for Jesus, this world is antagonistic to our faith. 1 John 4, 3. Now, just let's let the Bible speak. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Where have you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world? Pastor Wright just hates the world. I don't hate the world. I'm just telling you there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible says. John 15. If the world hates you, this is Jesus speaking, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world. I don't go to their parties. I don't go to their bars. I'm not out drinking with them. I'm not out cussing with them. I'm not telling their dirty jokes. We're not of the world. But I've chosen you out of the world because the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said in you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, me being Jesus, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I'll show you another verse, James chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're enemy of God. And I think properly we can switch those and say this. Okay, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And if you're a friend of God, you're an enemy of the world. Those two things don't go together. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now there's a reason I'm going down this path, and not just to beat up the world or to be negative, but I want to talk about the hope that we have in the rapture. We don't have hope in this world. This world doesn't bring us hope. This world is on a downward trajectory away from the Lord. There's no hope or comfort in those things if I'm truly trying to live for Jesus. Now watch this. I want you to consider with me. The world does not offer hope to believers. Now watch this next statement. The world does not offer hope to unbelievers. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, really, what hope do you have in this world? This world is full of war and disease and division and hate and bigotry and suffering. And the longer you live in this world and the more you see what's in this world, the more hopeless you see how this world is. And if I was not a believer in Jesus Christ and all that I had was this world, I would be discouraged. I would be depressed. I would say, what is there to live for? The world is getting worse and worse, and there's hate, and there's disease, and there's war. There's nothing in this world, the world, that gives me any hope whatsoever. One of the reasons why the world looks like they're crazy is because there's no hope. Other than Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Now watch what I say next. And if you're a believer living for this world, you're in their same boat. You know why it's so foolish to live for this world as a believer? Because there's no hope in this world. The unbelievers have no hope. Why are you joining them in their lack of hope? We who know Christ have a hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope isn't in the next election. It doesn't matter which one. I'm going to vote for one over the other, okay? Very strongly so. But that's not my hope.
Well, you know, Pastor Wade, if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate and get the White House, man, we could save this country.
We've been there before and it didn't work. The hope of America is not an election. The hope of America is not some new law, some new regulation, some Supreme Court decision. The hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that there is in this world. And why do we as believers want to live hopeless like unbelievers? We have a hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And it's not this. It's not just like, oh, I hope I make it until I die. I've got another 20, 30, 40 years of life. That's not my hope. My hope is this. All I need to do is make it today. Because today may be the trumpet sound. Today I may see Jesus. If I wake up tomorrow morning, I got another day. All I got to do is make it through that day. I'm not saying, how am I going to make it until I retire? How am I going to make it until I get old? How am I going to make it to the end? How do I just live today for Jesus? Amen. My hope is in Him. I'm going to see Him. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but what I yearn for, what I desire is to see my Savior. Amen. That's my hope. That's the hope that we have. And this rapture brings us hope. That's why he says, comfort one another. There's a comfort in this. There's an everyday expectancy to see Christ. Now, we do not know what the future holds, but we can know what our future holds if we know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the hope of the rapture. There's a timing of the rapture, happen any moment. There's a hope, that is, we're going to see the Lord. And He's our hope. He's what we're living for. He's what we're desirous after. And then there's a third aspect of this. Not only the timing, the hope, but it brings us to number three, and that's the decision before the rapture. So go with me, if you will, back to chapter 4 and look with me at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This instantaneous rapture. But there's something about this that we also need to understand. There's a big misunderstanding, a huge misunderstanding. And the big misunderstanding is this. People say, well, here's what I'm going to do, Pastor White. I'm just going to wait. I hear the gospel. I hear what you're saying. I'm just going to sit here and wait. And if all of a sudden I look around and everyone's gone, I'm going to say, oh, now I believe. And you are absolutely wrong. God calls us to live by faith, not by sight. That's living by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God expects you to live by faith. And the faith, well, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We look to the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We act in accordance with the Word of God, and that shows our faith in His Word. Amen. There are people who literally think, and because it's taught, and it's taught foolishly, wait until the rapture, that proves that it's true, then respond. Let me tell you this, you have, based on what I'm going to show you the verse, my understanding of the verse, you have doomed your soul to hell. God doesn't play games. That's playing games with him. That's like, I'm going to live for the devil as much as I want to, and then at the last moment, I will live for Jesus, and I will be all, I got best of both worlds. Okay, you are a fool if that's how you think about the Christian life. That's not how we live the Christian life. There's a decision to be made before the rapture. Let me show you the verse that I alluded to, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Something about this is happens after the rapture. And this is during the tribulation period. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Again, we kind of alluded to that earlier in the message. With all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice what it says. They received not the love of the truth. They rejected it. We're not done yet. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Let me back up for a moment. Who are we talking about? We're talking about, in verse 10, those who receive not the love of the truth. Those who heard it and rejected it. I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about that specific group of people. That they should believe a lie. That they all, again, this group of people, might be damned. I'm talking about damned to hell. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This playing of games. Now, what do you mean they'll believe a lie? That means that somehow, whatever lie comes, whatever excuse comes, they're going to say, it wasn't the rapture, it was UFOs came and boom, people left. There must be, isn't it kind of interesting? I'll just throw this out there. It's kind of interesting that there's a lot more talk about UFOs. Almost like they want you to believe it. Because, you know, Eve is the mother of all living. Okay, there's no life like this on any other planet. We have the Bible on that. The earth is where God put human life. Eve is the mother of all living. But yet they want us to believe that there's people, and all of a sudden, while no one's watching, and there goes all the people, and there goes a spaceship. You say, Pastor White, how could people be so foolish? If the last few years didn't teach you how people could be so foolish, you weren't paying attention. People will believe what they want to believe. And the Bible says they're going to believe a lie. They're not going to believe that the rapture happened. They're not going to believe in Jesus. They're going to believe a lie. And they're going to be damned. Now watch this. Not only does it bring this damnation to those who've heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, that specific group. They've heard the gospel. They rejected the gospel. Now they're going to believe a lie. But even those who have not heard the gospel, now there's an increased death rate. There's a lack of witness because the believers are gone. There's a false worship of the Antichrist. The vast majority of the world are going to be damned to hell because during this tribulation period. It's not going to be like some, there are going to be people saved, but the vast majority are people who are going to be damned to hell. There's a decision to be made before the rapture. God expects us to respond by faith, not sight. I quoted these verses a moment ago. I'll just show them to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, and you could make by application, just like we're talking about the rapture, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, it's interesting, when we think about the rapture and we think about Noah, because there is a parallel here. God warned him, hey, I'm going to flood the earth, just like he warns us, hey, I'm going to return. And they ignored him, they laughed, they mocked. No one paid attention to the preaching of Noah. And then all of a sudden, Noah gets on the boat, and as we've said, God shuts them in. God shuts the door, just like when God raptures it out here. It's a God thing. God shuts the door. And there's no one getting on the ark after that. You can sit there and beat all you want to. Hey, let me in. I believe now. Nope, door shut. Too late. No one's getting on the ark. And then the waters came, and they all died. I don't say it glibly. That's just what happened. The same thing is true about the rapture. If you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, quit playing games. Because you're going to look around one day, and all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of believers gone, and you're not going to get saved, you're going to believe a lie. And you've damned your soul to hell for eternity. You better get on the boat while the door's still open. When the door's closed, it's too late then. Now notice what it says, that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, he, by faith, did what God said. That's how we respond by faith. Now, I'm going to give you a statement, and we're getting ready to land this plane. Waiting for the rapture to happen and then get saved is like waiting for the rain before getting in the ark. Too late. You're doomed. So there is the timing of the rapture. There's a hope of the rapture. There's a decision before the rapture. So let me ask you a question. Are you ready for the rapture? Let me speak to my fellow believers. If you were to meet... Okay, here's what I mean by believer. So I define my words so we're not on different wavelengths. When I was a teenage boy, I recognized that I had sinned against a holy God. I had no right, no recourse, no reason ever to go to heaven. I am a sinner. God had every right to send me to hell. I understood that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. And that only his blood could wash away my sins. And I said, Jesus, if you'd come to my heart and wash away my sins, I would surely take you as my Savior. And he came in, he saved my soul, he secured it, and I have a home in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again believer in Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. If that's you, you have a place and a time, you receive Christ as your Savior. You're my fellow believer. If you were to meet the Lord today in the air, if today was the day that the rapture happened, have you left things undone? Would you face the Lord and say, oh man, I didn't do that. And I don't mean you forgot to turn the water off or you left lights on. I'm talking about when it comes to the Word of God. Because someday when you face Him, it's too late to go back and try to do the things you should have done. Years ago when I was young, a few years ago when I was young, I should clarify that. This is in between my two stepfathers. So my mom would have a job and she'd leave us at home. During the summer, that's what I'm thinking about, because we didn't have school. And my mom would leave a note, and she'd say, you know, by the time I got home, here's what I want you to have done. And we made sure everything was done before she got home. But we also kind of, you know, as kids were, we kind of also watched the clock, and we knew our mom got home at about 3 o'clock is when she got home. So about 2 o'clock, 2:15, 2:30, we said, hey, let's get that list out, because we got some things to get done here. And everything was done by 3 o'clock, because that's when we knew she was going to be there. One day, my mom came home like at 1. She got off early. Nothing was done. And she called us in, and she said, how come these things aren't done? And here's our excuse. Well, Mom, it's not three. She said, I didn't say wait till three. She said, have it done before I got home. And I'm home and it's not done. That's going to be the fate of many believers. We're playing games and holding off and thinking, well, I got plenty of years and Jesus is going to come and he's going to say, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And say, well, Lord, I didn't know it was going to happen. I told you to get it done now. Don't put it off. Is there someone you need to witness to? Some sin you need to walk away from? Some decision the Lord's been putting in your heart to make that you're holding back from? Matthew 24 says this, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. He had been ready for it. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now let me speak finally to those who have not trusted Christ as Savior. You're not bad. You haven't trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not saying you hate God. I'm not saying you deny God, but you've not done it. You know you need to do it. I know people who will tell you, yes, I need to get saved, but I'm not ready yet. Let me say, you need to get ready real fast, like right now, because today's the only day you got. So I'll speak to those who have not trusted Christ as Savior. The rapture is not a ploy. It's not a trick to get you into getting saved. It is a warning that your time is short, and it's shorter than you know. No one expects to drop dead, but yet they do. And no one's expecting the rapture to occur, but it will. And if you're not saved, if you drop dead suddenly or the rapture happens, either way, you have doomed your soul to hell. The title of the sermon is, What About the Rapture? The question for us right now is this. What do you need to do because of the rapture?